Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. April 24, 2020. Turning the coronavirus into good. Question: how should we cope with the growing anxiety from the expected consequences of the coronavirus of remaining without work or livelihood? How does this relate to spiritual connection? Answer: I think you will have no issues, since this is not only your problem, but the problem of many millions or even billions of people in the world. Therefore, it makes no sense to worry. Various measures will be taken so that many people will not be harmed. There cannot be the suffering of billions of people as it happens during war, the plague, or global hunger. In general, this is not such a big problem for mankind. How many casualties does the coronavirus have? A small amount. So, we can handle it. However, we need to consider such states as pointing to our separation from each other. If we get closer to each other, then we will turn this virus into good. It will do its good deed. Instead of destroying the connections between us, it will make them more productive, tender, correct, and humane. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 22, 2020. What is so unique about the current situation? Question: mankind has been in emergency situations before. What is so unique about the current situation? Answer: it is unique because humanity has reached a state where we are completely dependent on each other around the globe. The virus has developed all over the world and is talked about in every country. Each person feels that this can certainly affect him or her because we all live in a single integrated system and are completely dependent on its well-being. Therefore, no matter whether you live in the jungle or in the sands, in New York or in Moscow, you will still feel it. The virus will make its way to all corners of the world. You can say, how can it get to me? I live on a desert island. There is nobody here besides me. The fact is that these viruses, these malicious waves, appear from nothing, literally from nothing. They appear from the particles, atoms, and molecules of normal organisms that exist in nature in the wrong system of bonds. Nature generates them in the form of viruses. These are biological organisms that must be in balance and behave correctly in relation to each other. But since around the globe we are creating a terrible relationship between good and evil, receiving and bestowing, it turns out that nature itself invents them in such a terrible form. These viruses will appear where they simply can't be. And vice versa, if we begin to improve nature, then suddenly, as if from nothing, such species of plants and animals will appear that haven't been on Earth for 100 to 200 years. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 15, 2020. Nature is dying from the virus called humanity. Many countries started talking about gradually lifting the quarantine and adults returning to work and children to school. Will this result in a new wave of infection? Everything will be all right if we take precautions not to infect each other and keep our distance. Of course, we must return to work to provide each other with the necessary services and products, otherwise, we will not be able to live. If we think about how to return people to the necessary jobs, without which there would be no food or essential services, and we take care only about ensuring a normal existence for everyone, the epidemic will not increase. However, if this is an attempt to return to the old race for profit in order to top up someone's bank accounts, the situation will deteriorate dramatically. After all, this will go against the general force of nature. And then there will be a sharp outbreak and the virus will spread even more. If we return to our jobs and schools, it should be done gradually and in conjunction with educating people, that is, with explaining the state we are in, what form we should come to, and why we should support and protect each other. It is important that a person is not only concerned about not getting infected himself, but is also afraid of infecting others. It is this mutual concern that will protect us from the virus. The coronavirus is a special program that is loaded into a general computer called Humanity and begins working in it. This program demands us to have greater mutual connection, and if we achieve it, we will get over the virus. However, if we do not begin to connect, no matter how much we increase the number of tests and devices for artificial lung ventilation, nothing will help us. So far, we are only learning from blows. The world is moving toward feeling more connected, more united. A common problem affects everyone, from north to south and from west to east, and brings people together. They no longer think about wars, conflicts between countries, corporations, and individuals. The main thing is to live peacefully. Everyone is locked up at home, and they agree to sit there because now the main problem for them is not to get infected with the virus. In this sense, the coronavirus has greatly helped humanity. All we need to do now is restore production and distribution in such a way that it will provide humanity with the necessary products, but without the excessive consumption that has almost completely ruined the earth. We cannot go back to our old life because we have become a harmful virus on the surface of the earth, a virus that kills nature. We destroy all the ecological environment, and therefore, we receive a corresponding response from nature. We need to think carefully about how to return to our activities on Earth so that it will provide everyone with a more or less normal life, but not at the expense of draining all the resources from the Earth. If we do not do this now, then there will be other, even more terrible and harmful viruses, through which nature will teach us and force us to change. Nature is the creator and has a lot of tools in store to make us bend. Nature is the upper force, the creator, Havaya. No matter what you call it, the main thing is that there is one force that controls all the inanimate, vegetative, and animate world, and people. Practically, everyone accepts this as an obvious fact. From the second part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson April 18, 2020, Writings of Balha Sulam, The Love of God and the Love of Man. There is no going back. Opinion: if we wait until the virus goes away and return to our previous lives, can we cause an additional, stronger blow with this action? Many people believe the epidemic is about to pass. Answer: I do not think this pandemic will go away just like that. It is possible that it will not correct humanity at once. We need the individual, rational, and conscious participation of people, countries, nations, and the world. But I am sure that we are now on the right track. Finally, the century called the last generation has begun when humanity is starting to seriously sober up from the wrong, selfish, childish relationships toward each other, the world, and nature. We have a good future ahead of us. It will no longer be possible to return to the life we used to have. No way. Question: why do you think so? Answer: because people will already be different. Nature will change them. These blows will make them slightly different. They will no longer impulsively jump on a plane and fly around the world to buy some foolish things in exotic countries or something like that. They will be interested in a more in-depth attitude toward nature and toward themselves. Question: you say that this virus saved nature from our consumer attitude to it. And indeed, there are clear facts confirming that nature is beginning to purify itself. But all these natural resources were used by a small group of people for their own prosperity, and ordinary people had nothing to do with it. Nevertheless, these blows are delivered to everyone. So why do we have to pay for the deeds of others? Answer: we are all in one system. And nature punishes us according to our involvement. So you cannot say that the one who lost billions is less affected than the one who lost his monthly salary. The one who lost billions, of course, does not starve, but his suffering is incomparable with the one who lost only a monthly salary. Someday, when we open our eyes and see the whole picture of nature, We will understand how fair this is and that it leads us only to a proper awareness of our states and correct behavior. In short, we have a very interesting journey ahead of us. And every day, nature fine-tunes us more and more for a new attitude toward ourselves, toward the world, life, death, toward everything. I hope that humanity will grow up in many aspects from this supposed blow. We will see that this is not a blow but a cure. In fact, what we consider a disease, a virus, is actually a cure. From CabTV's Coronavirus Changes Reality, March 19, 2020. My article in Newsmax, Reopening the Economy? First, we have to change. There are debates all over the world about how and to what extent countries should reopen their economies in order to prevent a complete collapse. But opening it without first dealing with the cause of the coronavirus outbreak is likely to have horrific consequences that will dwarf the ordeal of the current pandemic. We think we are at war with nature, that we must fight against it and subdue it. We forget that we ourselves are nature's creation. Each of our thoughts, plans, words and actions is engendered in nature before it manifests in us. This is true even of the aspiration to subdue nature. But trying to conquer the very thing that planted the thought of conquering in our minds makes even less sense than chasing our own tails. Just as we don't understand why nature sends us the thoughts it does, we don't understand why it has sent us the coronavirus. Yet it, too, had a process that led to its emergence. If we want to overcome the virus, we must know where it came from and why. When we identify the process that engendered the virus, we will see what we must do in order to curb it, and why there are many more in store where that little bug came from, and far more sinister. Many scientists have already pointed to human behavior as the cause of the appearance of the virus. They explain that the destruction of natural habitats of many wild animals has forced them to migrate closer to humans. This makes what virologists call a spillover of viruses from animals to humans easier and more frequent. All the coronaviruses that caused respiratory syndromes in this century have resulted from such spillovers. SARS, MERS and COVID-19 were all caused by viruses that migrated from the animal kingdom and caused life-threatening illnesses in humans. So, too, by the way, is the case with the Ebola virus. But human behavior did not only cause spillovers of viruses. Human behavior has polluted the oceans, lakes and rivers, polluted the air and polluted the earth. It depleted the oceans of fish, the sky of birds and the earth of animals. Human behavior starves and sickens millions of men, women and children the world over, enslaves them, rapes them and exploits them in countless ways. Human behavior inflicts death and torment on millions through war, deportation and destruction of communities and entire countries. Even the affluent and fortunate are so afflicted by human behavior that they find refuge in drugs, suicide, excessive eating and depression. In short, human behavior is the cause of all that is bad and wrong in the world. Yet, what causes us to be so injurious to everything and everyone around us? And if our behavior is so fundamentally flawed, can we even mend it? And if so, where do we start? We start at home. All animals behave according to their nature. Man is a part of nature, therefore, man behaves according to human nature. If human behavior is flawed, it is because so is human nature. Hugging trees won't change human nature, but hugging people will. The change should start at home, with the people meant to be closest to us. We must use the COVID-19 hiatus from baleful capitalism to reconnect with our families, re-establish the bond that made us a family in the first place, but which so many of us have lost along the way. Afterwards, we should look at our communities and begin to reconstruct them. To paraphrase the words of JFK, ask not what your community can do for you. Ask what you can do for your community. It will take mutual commitment to succeed, but if people understand the importance and urgency of rebuilding our communities, they will respond. Before we take action, we must be aware. We must let the idea of human nature being the root of all problems sink into our minds and the minds of the people in our family and community, and then pull together and change it. We can do it. All we have to do is set a good example and let others inspire us through their example. We can use the added free time we have been given to learn about human nature and then go out and do something about it with our friends and neighbors. From the community level, we must spread the spirit of friendship everywhere else. Just as singing from porches spread from Italy to porches all over the world, so can good deeds. Don't be afraid to shoot a video of yourself helping others and post it on social media. Tell the viewers that you're doing it because you want to be a better person, and the idea will catch on. It's as easy as that: I help others because it makes me a better person. That's all that people need to know. You will win people's hearts and they will want to follow in your footsteps. If we realize who we are and want to change, we only need to change our actions. This will change our mindsets, which will change our hearts. What efforts do those studying Kabbalah make? Question: what are the elements of our efforts during a workshop? How can we identify them so that a person can strive for them more precisely? Answer: we always start with the fact that we had one soul, an interconnected system of desires in which each exists only in addition to the others. This system can be depicted in the form of a sphere, which is a geometric shape of the mutual connection of many different qualities and desires. Later, this design broke into 600.000 pieces and then into a huge number of individual pieces. Our task is to bring them together. Since we bring them together against our egoism, the power of this construction is many times greater and more intense than before. If earlier, in its initial state, the light was small, the light of Nefesh, now, by connecting through our own efforts, we receive the light of Naranhai, the highest level of the degree of Yehida, unity, connection. Thus we will experience creation from minus to plus infinity, in all its depth and forms, in complete attainment of each and every one. This, in principle, is our work. In order to fulfill it, we cannot just study individually, each with his own book. We must maintain constant contact with each other. All the Kabbalists write about this, starting with Abraham, who, in addition to the revelations of the previous Kabbalists, revealed the source of connection. And 1,500 years later, during the time of Rabbi Akiva, there was deeper scrutiny of the method of connection. The Ari continued its development in the 16th century and Baal HaSulam 500 years after that. Today, it is in our hands. Each time this method is updated, it is always different, and we must apply it on ourselves, try it on ourselves. This is what we do in every workshop. It is not easy. We do not just mindlessly follow instructions, flip pages, and execute it as is usually the case in many professions. For example, I worked for several years in aviation preparing planes for departure. Everything went according to instructions: do this, check that, turn on the toggle switch, look at the arrow, etc. Not here, though. You must experience everything on yourself, and each time there are new forms and qualities. This is a completely different kind of work that can be implemented only in a group. And each time we prepare ourselves for a new state, a new flight. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 1, 2020. How can I not lose myself? Question: today, I am aware of what I am. This somehow enables me to find my way in this world. When I study your articles and watch your videos, I often hear you say that attaining the Creator means being in adhesion with Him. This invokes fear in me that if I get closer to the Creator and merge with Him, I will cease to exist. What is this fear and what is adhesion to the Creator? Answer: adhesion to the Creator is achieved when your egoism dissipates and its importance decreases, and instead, the importance of the attribute of bestowal, which we call the Creator, emerges. It begins to rule all your other attributes, forces, and intentions. This means that the attribute of bestowal, connection, and love for everything that is external to you is the means that brings you closer to the Creator. This is a spiritual attribute. If you begin to feel that it is gradually manifesting in you, it means that you are on the right path. Question: don't I lose my uniqueness, my individuality by that? Answer: you do not lose anything because the attribute that you acquire also stems from your egoism, but it is opposite to it. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 26, 2020. Soar above the pain. Comment: the great 13th century Sufi poet Rumi compared emotions like joy, depression, and loneliness to uninvited guests, and he recommended to laugh in their face. But we usually behave differently and pretend not to notice them. However, psychological studies show that accepting negative emotions is a better way to restore and maintain spiritual balance. My response: a person is built so that he must balance his negative and positive emotions. If he doesn't, he will not have an incentive to live. Question: suppose I encounter a problem, how should I take it? Answer: all the same, you will look for the positive side in it. They beat me, but I can breathe between the blows. Question: this is paradoxical, of course, but I would like to ask you about even worse events, a catastrophe, for example. Answer: yes. You survive that too. Question: so, this is called acceptance of the affliction we encounter? Answer: the trouble comes, and you cannot do anything about it. But still, the instinct of self-preservation forces you to look for something positive in any circumstance you may find yourself in. Otherwise, you will have no incentive to live, and the incentive to live is the most important thing. Question: what about a person who commits suicide? Answer: people who end their life by suicide, in principle, have everything. There are people who, compared to those who commit suicide, are really miserable, terribly sick, and have nothing, but are still happy. This is a paradox. Question: this is indeed a paradox. People commit suicide in Europe, while in Africa hardly any do. What advice would you give? When trouble comes, a negative situation, how should a person behave? Answer: he should lower his head, lower his demands, and connect to people like him. Then a person will feel that it is actually in the connection between people that he finds fulfillment and peace of mind and even meaning and purpose in life. He suddenly begins to understand where this affliction comes from. Mind you, he thinks it is a misfortune, and he begins to see that in this affliction, in the lowest state, when he is simply on the ground and cannot raise his head, he begins to understand the meaning, that this is how he is being guided. He understands that he has been given the opportunity to crawl through such a wormhole to a different state, to a higher state, that is more detached from corporeality, from materialism, and is a more sublime spiritual state. Question: you have said that this is the state when you start looking for connection with other people? Answer: yes. Through them. Or maybe it is inside. This already depends on the root of the soul. He needs to either attain such states through connection with others or individually. Question: what does a person begin to understand? Where the affliction came from and why? Answer: he begins to understand the upper providence. And this already opens up for him a totally different attitude to life, inner connection with others. He begins to discover states that are outside of his body. Question: so, are you saying that only through pain can a person hold on to something that is higher than him, to the Creator? Answer: that is the only way. It just depends on how you perceive and understand this pain. This pain can be both enjoyable and fulfilling because I know that it detaches me, it scrapes me from this world, like you peel off an adhesive tape, for example. That is how it tears me off, and I stick to a completely different world. From Cab TV's The News with Michael Lateman, December 16, 2020. Food for the point in the heart. Question. You have compared the point in the heart to seed in manure. Is the seed the point in the heart and the manure the heart? Answer, yes. The heart is egoism, that is, manure, fertilizer, thanks to which we grow. And the point in the heart is the divine part from above. It must grow from this world, from this dung, egoism. This is not a frivolous expression. The Creator has intentionally created opposite systems, egoistic and altruistic ones, so that we can receive and take everything from the ego to the extent that we feel the importance of our altruistic development. This means that we will grow to the extent that we want this development and transfer forces from our ego into this system. It is long and serious work, but this is actually how we can grow. So, our work is built on contradictions, egoism and altruism, the right, the left, and the middle line. Everything depends on how much we can absorb nourishing materials from the fertilizer, from the ego, in order to ascend and develop the point in the heart. From Cab TV's Fundamental of Kabbalah, February 9, 2020. From Babylon to Rome, Part 4. A special place on earth. Comment. After Haman's execution and unification of the Jewish people, the king of Persia Gur came to power. He gave the Jews of Persia an opportunity to move to the land of Israel and he supplied them with the means to build the temple. The land of Israel, Eretz Israel, seems to be a special place on earth. My response, indeed. But living in Israel is not easy. If people who live there, in any historical period, do not obey the laws of this land, meaning the laws of unity, loving the neighbor, helping each other out, then this land has a detrimental effect on them. They cannot live here in peace and continue to develop, and they feel a certain antagonism toward this place, and thus it seems to spew them out. A long time ago this land was very fertile. If there is water and the correct attitude toward this land, it bears fruit. But everything depends on the people. This is a special land, it senses the relationships between the people. And if they are not kind toward each other, the land is not kind toward them. From Cab TV's systematic analysis of the development of the people of Israel, July 8, 2019. New Life 1215. Coronavirus, children's questions.
שלום לכם, תודה שאתם מצטרפים אלינו, אנחנו כאן...
Hello, thank you for joining us. We're here with New Life, the series of programs with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Lateman. We're here with you, two different studios, the days of the corona. Hello, Dr. Michael Lateman. Hello to everyone. This is 1125 program, and I came with a lot of pain in my heart, a lot of concern, and many questions to Rav Lateman, mostly questions that I'm being asked as a father at home, by my children, my young ones. And I would like to ask Dr. Lateman some of these questions. When you join me, and we'll connect together to the questions and the explanations of the Rav. Dr. Lateman, the first question I wanted to share you with is something I don't have an answer, not for my children. Like I said, my young ones are 10-year-olds, and not for myself either. But if I try to package this question in a few simple words, it's simple. When will this story end? Rav, it doesn't depend on the coronavirus, it depends on people. When people change, and become an integral, beneficial part to all of nature. This coronavirus is just an indicator, a scale by which you can see how we're not identifying with nature, that we're a part of it, but a part that is destructive towards it. Well, now I would like to come with your feeling, even though we're in isolation, each in his home, but try to come to my home. My children, my youngsters, are 10-year-olds, and they're at home now. They're doing distance learning as much as they can. Mostly they're in their cell phones and the screens. When they want to know when this story will end, when they will be able to go to their friends and to do all that they're used to, and their question is, Daddy, when will it end? What do I tell them? Dr. Leitman, when you become good children, when you're good children, what does it mean to be good children? When all of humanity enters the integral system of nature and identifies with all of nature to be friendly towards nature. To who? To where? Where will he enter? Who? To a system of nature, which all of humanity will begin to behave with one another all together in such a way that the entire system will enter into balance, become friendly. Can you imagine, let's say, our body, where all of a sudden all of its systems begin to behave in a manner that each system does whatever it feels like. So the body can't exist. It truly begins to fall apart and die. So we are part of a whole system, and our participation is such egoistic in this general system of nature. We must receive a new feeling and mind in order to behave correctly with all of humanity. Oh, and I want now, in order to feel my children and pass on to them this information, I want to take them, and I'm going to stop being Oren, your interviewer on the program. I'll simply be my children and you'll be me, okay? We'll do kind of a little role play here. Dr. Leitman, I'm willing. So I didn't quite understand your question, Daddy. When will this end? This will end when we are ready to behave in nature in a beneficial way, like integral parts of this whole system called nature. But we don't go out to nature at all. We're closed at home for several days now. We don't see an end. We would really like to go out to the park by our home, but we're not allowed to do that either. And now we're kind of in a little pressure cooker between these four walls. No, I'm talking about nature, which is the still, the vegetative, animal, and people, and they're all in balance between them. How is that connected to us at home now? You are, although at home, but you are a part that belongs to the general nature. Who is the general nature? What is it? The general nature is the system which connects you all together. The way we influence each other, also Earth, with all of its parameters and all of its details, and also the plants, the trees, and so forth. Also, the living bodies, animals, fish, birds, etc., and also people. We are all, as we are with Earth and upon Earth, we are all an integral system altogether. What is that word, integral? We're all connected to one another in a way that we are all belonging and dependent on one another. And when each of us changes, he changes the others, whether we like it or not, in all kinds of directions. So what does it mean that The first answer that you said to me, the first sentence you answered me when I asked you, Daddy, when will it end? He said to me, when you'll be good children. Yes? How's that connected to this whole surrounding this ecological system of earth and the fish and the birds and people? Because out of all of nature, only still vegetative and animal are in a state of balance between them. Because they don't have free choice, and they don't decide to behave this way or another. They behave according to their own nature. And man, a person, behaves according to how he decides, above his nature that he was born with. And then he uses all these degrees of nature, still vegetative and animate, which are below him, in an egoistic way, and bends them the way he feels like. He destroys earth, empties it, he destroys the plants, he destroys the animals, and eventually also the degree of people, the way he relates to people. That's why when we relate in such a way to the inanimate and to this vegetative and animal and speaking, we are destroying this whole global integral system that's supposed to be in mutual support to one another. And then we bring this system to a state that it's out of balance. And then when it comes out of balance, it kind of dispels out these forces that are like viruses, like fires, like all kinds of things. It expels things outwards this way. And we're coming now into such an imbalance in nature that there is no more already. We have come to what's written in the wisdom of Kabbalah, that we have come to the last generation, to the end of the way. If we don't change, we have no right to exist upon earth. You know, when you spoke now, I was reminded by something we learned in nature, in science, that people make earth dirty. And we're living in Exa Park. And before the days we went out, I remember that every Sunday when we'd go through the park on the way to school, we used to see lots of garbage. Because on Saturday, people come to the park and they leave all their waste. So, is that form in which we people make the world dirty and don't recycle and all that, that I was taught about in school, is that connected to Corona? Because now we don't make anything dirty at all because there's no one in the park. So what does it mean to be good children? I didn't get that exactly. Corona is a result of the imbalance between us, between people, where we have destroyed earth already and wasting it and destroying it and bending it as far as still vegetative and animal. Now we've come to a point of the speaking, the relations between us. Between people? Yes, between people, where we hate each other, we're getting close to war, where we don't know what to do with the human society. Look at what's happening in every country. And then, now when this virus is being revealed, it's operating in a direct manner against the human society. So what I understood is that this whole story with the corona will end and we'll be able to leave our home and go to our friends and everything like it was before a few weeks ago is when the adults will stop the wars in the world between them, between the countries. Yes. Also, not only, but also. What else? When they change their attitude towards one another, it's not enough to stop the wars. Stopping the war is not. Does that mean that we're in balance between us and with nature? What does that word balance between people mean? What is it to be in balance? In balance where I relate to all of nature, nice and good, like nature relates to everyone. So you're saying that stopping the wars between the countries is not enough. What else do we need? We need to relate nicely, especially to people, to the inanimate, to the vegetative and animal, in order to not harm them, to let them develop correctly and nicely, not to be the harming part to the still vegetative and animate, and also to be a specifically friendly part towards the speaking part in nature. Who's the speaking? The people? Yes, people. So to relate nicely to each other, that's the key that will cause all this craze to end? Yes. So I want you to explain. I'll give you an example. At home now, we're daddy and mommy and four children. And we have at home a few computers and a few laptops and TVs, but not everyone has a room that he can, it's only his room. And there's lots of instruments. There's a piano and a guitar and drums. And we many times are fighting with one another when I can play the piano, when I can do sports live with my friend on Zoom, because everything that someone does, it's kind of influencing everyone, because we're all together inside this apartment and we're not allowed to leave. How is that connected to relating nicely? What in such a reality does it mean to relate nicely? What is it to relate nicely? To be considerate. To be considerate with who? With the others. My brothers, let's say. Your brothers. Each one, let's say one has a headache, the other one has a bellyache, the third one wants to sleep, so I don't play. But how long can I not play? Until I don't bother them. But they're not considerate of me. They need to be considerate also. What, we are going to go and bother each other until that's it? There's no end? Look, in the beginning, I had a little bit of patience in the first few days. And I was really trying, because also daddy and mommy talked to us. And we would do, because everyone's at home. So we'd have lunch together. And we're not used to that either. And daddy and mommy were at work. And we only used to meet in the evening sometimes. Now we're relatively, every lunch and every dinner we're eating together, unless someone's annoyed with everyone and goes off. So we talked about the fact that we have to be considerate. Just like you said, we have to be considerate, we need to relate nicely to one another. But after we talk about that, and it seems like everyone says, yes, okay, we will try to be considerate. And we even made a summary. We said, okay, at this time, you're allowed to play the piano. From this time to that time. From this time to that time, you're allowed to do sports on live with your friend on the phone. And it's like we tried to make an order to it. But then, it's problematic. Because I'm already, I don't have patience for everyone to be considerate of them all the time. I'm not, Rav, that's their nature. You have nothing to do. I understand you. They're not capable of being good children. They're not capable of being considerate of one another. There needs to be a system that cares for them in a persistent way, where you're constantly in it and they're in it, and that's how it is. That's also towards children, that's also towards adults. We are all like that. Throughout our lifetimes, we just develop in the bad way. What do you mean that in the bad way? More egoistic. I, throughout my life, become more and more of an egoist. I'm not capable of being considerate of others. I don't have the strength to talk about it. I don't have the strength to be considerate of it. It's truly so. This is clear to us. What can we do? That's why the wisdom of Kabbalah comes. And this is what it takes care of. Exactly this and nothing else. It says, our goal is to come to one will help his friend. To come to what? One will help his friend. What do those words mean? Is it from the Bible? Yes. What do they say? That every person has to help the other. By what? By acquiring the force of good in our attitude and relationship between everyone. How to help? Let's say, how should I help my brothers that don't have patience and they're in nerves and they're exploding? But if we hear that there's no choice and we must connect between us only in a good connection, then let's start showing each other specifically in such a way, demonstrative way, let's start to show how we are good to one another. We do love one another. We do want one another. Why? We have no choice if we want to get rid of the coronavirus. If we want to get out of our house at some point. We really want. We're exploding already. So please, only in this way. Only in this way where everyone, all the people will say unanimously, we want to get out of our homes. We want to get rid of this coronavirus between us. And let us start relating to one another nicely, specifically. What does that mean specifically? Specifically means against our nature. Against who? Against our nature. What does that mean against our nature? Against the desire of a person. Let's say a child wants to play the guitar. Yes, right. Sometimes I want to play on my guitar. They tell me that you have 20 minutes to play. Wonderful. But now I feel like playing. Not when you give me 20 minutes tomorrow evening. I want to play it now. I want to play the guitar now. I'm nervous. I don't have the patience for all this craze. I take my guitar. I sit down. And I want to play a little bit and just calm down. And also my sister comes and says, but we decided that you're playing tomorrow evening. I want to play now the piano. Yes. So what will you do? I'm asking you. I don't know what to do with her. You have to do what she wants. Why? She should do what I want. But that's not according to the order that you decided upon. But I have to. No, I have to. And she also has to. Yeah, that's exactly what she says also, right? So what will be? I don't know what will be. What you decided in advance, that's what needs to be done. Only now comes the question, where will you get the strength? Exactly. So that's how you should ask it. Where will I take the strength to stop myself, to restrict myself, and to say to her, my dear sister, my beloved sister, you can play the piano, and I will be happy to hear how you play. That's how Daddy says to her, that he'll be happy how she plays, but I want to also play. Well, try to say it that way. But you will see what peace will come to the family. What do you have from you standing now and making a pose? Well, I don't want, but you have turn tomorrow. I want now, but you have your turn tomorrow. No, I want for her to bend and to give me her time. How could it be? But she doesn't want also. She's an egoist just like you. Well, so what will be? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You understand that you're wrong. You understand that you're not right, but you don't want. Right. So what do we do? I don't know. We need education where despite the fact that I want, I nevertheless overcome and come to concession. Now you can ask, so what do I get from these concessions that I have to do from morning till night? I'm fed up with them already. Oh, so ask. I'm asking in your place all the time. I'm fed up. All the time my parents are telling me, give up. So I'll answer you in your place. You need to say, by this, by me giving up, by me conceding, and I can, with force, not to let her play the piano maybe, right? And I can forcefully play my guitar and I don't care about anyone. Exactly. But I'm not right. But I overcome, and despite the fact that I'm not right, and despite all of that, I let her do that. Why? Why? I want to bring the world, the force of good to be revealed. To who to cause it? To the world, to nature. I didn't understand. So here again, first of all, here. Then when you have, what, so you have what to think of them. Okay. You tell your nature that you want to give a place for your sister to play the piano, and altogether you want to give up to the whole world, let them do what they want. What do you need? Just a piano and your sister. You have other sisters and brothers to deal with. You want to simply come to a state in which you give up to everyone. Let it be good for everyone. Why? Because you want by that to balance the world, to calm down the world, to bring to the world the force of concession, the force of good, by which this virus will disappear. Because it came because of the lack of balance that we have in this reality. That's it. You do that, and another one, and another one. All of a sudden, we will see that the world becomes calm. Everyone gives up, concedes themselves, and lets others get away. And everyone becomes with a smile to each other, a nice attitude towards each other, calm and peace. And now, after we did that, this action is called tzimtzum, restriction. Let's decide who more, who less, who first, who next can receive what he wants. So what do we learn from this? Like in the family, we start with the babies. Whoever is smaller gets first, and then second and third according to age. And that's how it is until we get to the age of, let's say, 30 or 40, 50. Then it goes the opposite. Whoever is older needs also to receive more faster because he doesn't have the strength. He has to maintain himself. We need to help him and so on. Meaning there's a certain line that goes this way, upwards this way, and then after age 60 we have to start related to the elderly like the children. So it's like I need to be like a Superman that saves the world? Yes. Saving your soul, saving your life, your family, your children, yourself from this virus. Now tell me, where does Superman get his... Even if I want to be Superman, I don't have strength, I don't have Superman. So where will I get that strength from? He'll be what Superman, the fact that he has hands like arms like an elephant. What? No, it's clear to me that what you see in the movies of Superman is just kind of it's make-believe. But he's good, he's got a force of good, he's always against the bad ones, and he saves the whole world, right? So where will I get that good strength, how do you call it, the strength of concession that will save the world? Where will I take it from? I'm not Superman, that's what I'm trying to say. I'm just a little child. We will help one another and demand this force of good from nature. We live in nature, and this nature doesn't have the force of good. There's no force of good in it. Let's take it out. It's also here, but it's just hidden. Who's hidden? The force of good? I don't have it. I mean, I know that I don't have it. Of course you don't. I don't demand you to have it. I don't have it either. But we can receive it from nature. It's hidden. This force of good. Let's demand. Let's together, me and you, and with some other people, I see we have now on our screens many friends. Let's all ask together for the force of good to be revealed. For the force of good to be revealed in us. So we will be able to relate nicely to one another. And then you will see how the world suddenly will receive light, a new form. There's no problem. Well, tell me, Rav Lightman, I am on purpose talking to you in such a way like to the little children, because I understand that you are much above that, but this is maybe how we need to start to talk to people today. Now, when I finish this conversation with you, and this evening we'll sit with the whole family together and we'll have dinner, so always other than each on his screen and his phone, Daddy and Mommy always say, let's talk about something together. So today I want to tell them about something that we're going to talk about together. What is it worthwhile for us to talk about together? Let's imagine our world. Our world, do you mean our home? Because we're not going out anywhere. Let's imagine our home. So it will be good for everyone. Of course we can't be good just to this person or to that one or to the other, but rather how could it be that it'll be good for everyone? Let's dream, let's fantasize. What does it mean, the good, beautiful apartment, the example family, the example of a home? Talk to them about that. I like that. I understand. I can see. So let them all smile that way. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. I will do that today at home. And next time we meet, I'll tell you how it was. Thank you very, very much. Thank you too, dear viewers, for being with us. New Life, for learning how to live good.